This is CliffCentral.com.
All right. That's Dua Lipa with New Rules. New rules. What new rules do you need today? Have you got any new rules for the world for today, Ben?
How about a general rule I think maybe gets forgotten? Respect thy common toilet. I don't think this happens to people.
Oh, I know what Ben's talking about. This is so frustrating.
God, it's frustrating because you'd think it'd be a basic thing. Like, we all have the ability to walk, speak generally, I don't know, breathe. Mm-hmm. These are all things we can do, right?
Yeah.
Where's this going?
Going to the toilet should be one of those things all of us humans can master.
We
all have the essential bits.
We
have quite a lot of talent.
We have a bathroom here on our floor, which everybody here uses, a women's bathroom, men's bathroom. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the women's bathroom is a palace by comparison with the men's bathroom.
That's not what Jane said the other day. Jane, and I'll hold your breakfast, said that in the women's toilet, some people don't even flush.
No, they just leave.
This isn't a water issue. Yeah. This is you can have a look at my turd issue.
They just, people just leave a big pile in the bowl.
Yeah.
And then they don't even press the button on the top, or they pull the chain on the side.
Nope.
That is very disappointing.
I know, isn't it? Mm. Like, you know, your parents must have just, like, whipped you to adulthood and never explained anything. Also, the angle of shitting that is conducted here sometimes is just mind-boggling.
The angle?
Well, look, okay, guys, look, let's not be too judgmental. Everyone has a bit of a troublesome bodger from time to time.
Oh, guys,
I myself have damaged Dalton before, not because of intent, but more because of, I don't know, biology or something. But there's this magical thing next to every single toilet I've ever seen. It's called a brush. And I'm sorry we have to go to something so basic so early. But there is someone here, and I think it's the guy who smokes dope upstairs. Oh. I saw him run away from the toilet the other day.
This is at 6:30 in the morning.
6:30 in the morning, and he ran upstairs like something bad had happened, and there we go.
Something bad had happened because I discovered it later in the day, and it was one of those.
Didn't have the decency to grab that brush,
no,
and leave it as he found it.
And it was on the day that Jane was away. She had to go and sort out something at home affairs, so there was no one to clean it. And I was gagging when I went in there because this guy had. Somehow, you know the back wall of the loo?
Oh, Lord, here we go. Uh-huh.
At the back wall, you know, it flushes all the way around the rim.
Mm-hmm.
This was just on the back wall and all the way above where the water comes out to flush. And sort of towards the lid as well. I think he managed to get some on the lid.
What?
Now, in order to reach those angles, you probably have to stand up and put your head between your knees.
Even so, it just feels malicious, Gareth. It's like this guy's got a vendetta against porcelain or something.
I agree with you. Really, one of the most basic things about being a human should be cleaning up after your own mess.
Yeah.
It's basic.
We can't keep tolerating the bar going so low. This person's taking a jackhammer to try and stuff the bar in there a little bit longer. Deeper. We've got to be better as humans.
We really do.
We've got so much improvement ahead of us.
When you leave that house today or wherever, you've got to know that you can do some basic things. And this is one of them. Because, you know, I think malicious shitting is something that happens in most workplaces.
Yes, because there's probably this this notion that, it's not my toilet at home, so I'm going to disrespect it.
Take all that. I think everyone's got a story from their workplace.
Okay, cool. We're done. We're done. Thanks. All right.
Yeah. Oh boy.
So let's just be clear. That's not the crime. The crime is leaving what that left.
And you know, it's not enough to say, "Oh well, I employ people to do that for me." No, have some self-respect.
See, I would
animal. Yeah, because in fact, not animal, because even animals clean up after themselves.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, why does Jane have to clean up that guy's back of the toilet spray? Why? Jane doesn't come here in the mornings excited to do that. You telling me he couldn't just clean? Unreal. All right, let's get into some real news, for heaven's sake. You got to do the burning platform with Justice Malana. See what's going on over there. He is in Cape Town this morning, but he's given us a proper agenda of things to talk about. The burning platform is brought to you by Nando's. We love Nando's. You never know when you start an episode of the burning platform whether it's going to be lemon and herb, mild, hot, or very hot. But usually it's either hot or very hot. There aren't days anymore in South African history, politics, society, the economy, where it isn't hot or very hot. And this morning, Justice has his eye on the ball. Good morning, Mr. Malala. How are you? Is he on Skype? I'm not getting anything here. Let me try it again.
The gremlins are back.
Yeah, I love this. Justice, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you guys? Yes, we can hear you now, loud and clear. How are you, Justice?
Oh, good. I'm well. I'm good. What's the laughter about now?
That is exactly what I'd also like to know.
Well, first of all, what is with the profile picture on your WhatsApp of you with a surfboard? What's that all about?
What?
Go to your
me with a surfboard.
Yeah, it's you. Go to your WhatsApp and go and look at the picture of you with a surf. Is it you with a surfboard?
No, Jesus, guys. Wow. Okay, let's get on with the show.
Justice, we get it. Double O J is in action.
You've got a job to do. We're not judging.
All right, so Justice, let's get into it then. I mean, there's no point in us messing around. Just 2 days ago, the president pulled such a big surprise that nobody in the top six knew it was going to happen. The ministers themselves had no idea. There was just a massive reshuffle. Is this an indication that this president is completely backed into a corner?
Can I just say, guys, I mean, can you imagine how heartless can you be? Braden Zimande was out and about somewhere. A reporter asks him, so what do you make of this reshuffle? What's your response? The man hadn't been called, hadn't been told that, Baba, clear your office. It's like, it reminds me of March when Pravin Gordhan is sitting there waiting
right.
to get a call. He doesn't get a call. Suddenly at midnight, there's a new Minister of Finance, Minister of this, Minister of that. Last night, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Dudu Mieni of SAA was kicked out or was removed as chair
yes.
of the board of SAA. I mean, she was with the president in Nigeria on Saturday, getting a statue erected for him, a road named after him, a merit award given to him. But how does this happen, that the man can laugh with you and then he stabs you in the back just like that? I mean, if a man was well-named, you know, his second name is Getheihlekisa. And Getheihlekisa means the one who stabs you while he laughs with you. And man, you've got to think this guy's amazing. But that's just the flavor of it. What's this president doing? Why did he have that cabinet reshuffle? I think it's very clear now that it's all out war in the ANC, that the president sees many of his comrades as his enemies, and that is cleaning house. So there are two things here. President Zuma has long wanted the nuclear build program to happen, and it wasn't happening. First of all, Tina Jumat Peterson was dragging her feet, then she got removed from energy, then he installed, and you guys will see a pattern here. President Zuma always likes young people, likes people who have no political clout to themselves. Mm-hmm. He elevates them and uses them for whatever he would like to do. So Mamoloko Kubai was young, doesn't have a lot of political clout herself, but the president elevated her to energy. She wasn't moving fast enough on the nuclear build program, and so she's been shifted. And a loyalist, David Mashobo, who is well known for visiting spas in Nelspruit and doing other things, is now the Minister of Energy. The Minister of Energy has to move swiftly on the nuclear build program, and the president has for long wanted that to happen. So that is what is happening there. That's the first thing. The second thing is that he is, as you intimate, he's cleaning house. Bladen Zimande has been totally on the side now of those who say President Zuma must step down, President Zuma must go. He's not fit to govern. He shouldn't have been elected at all as ANC president. And the president wants to get rid of those people. So Blade is the first to go. My view is that we'll have another one of these. My view is that all the rumors you're hearing about a possible Cyril Ramaphosa push is something that we shouldn't discount. If Cyril Ramaphosa doesn't go in the next 8 weeks before December, if he loses at the conference in December in Gauteng, then he will definitely be out when the ANC goes back in January next year. So I think that is what we are facing. That is what this cabinet reshuffle is all about.
I'm curious about two things. First of all, Justice, did the president or anybody else in government already get any deposits from the Russians on this nuclear build? I mean, are there monies that have changed hands?
We don't know, but we can surmise. Why is the president of the republic so desperate to get this deal done that he's moved people about, that he's been really pushing to go for it? If you listen to energy experts from, you know, Professor Eberhard at UCT, others all over the country, who say, actually, right now, we don't need nuclear. Why are we so desperate to get nuclear to go in? David Mashobo has said over the past 2 days that, you know, this is policy of the ANC. We said we'll have an energy mix. Look at how Quebec has worked. Look at Pelindaba and so forth. And so he's made the sounds that, no, I'm just following what the ANC told me. But I thought the ANC is such an amazing organization. When the facts change, it stands to change with the facts. So I'm surprised that he's pulling this ANC wants energy mix, and the energy mix has to include nuclear in there. That you have to wonder why people are so desperate to implement nuclear. The short answer to your question, Gareth, is that really what we are faced here is a government that we cannot trust, and a government that may well, or a presidency and others who may well have struck a deal with the Russian state and the Russian nuclear company Rosatom, and may have taken a forward deposit, as it were, and are now under pressure to deliver. That is a theory that's been put forward by many, many key thinkers and writers in Russia who say, well, looks like those guys don't have anything to do anywhere in the world. And so they came to South Africa, and there's a lot of talk about possibly that some people may have received, shall we say, an incentive to make this happen, and now they are under pressure to deliver. Those who follow these things would say Vladimir Putin, the leader of Russia, is not someone who one trusts. And so if a promise has been made that nuclear will be sourced from Russia, he will want that to happen. And so this is what's happening with us in South Africa, that we are under pressure, that some people are under pressure to make it happen, and it's not happening. So the desperation now is to get it implemented as soon as possible as a measure or as an attempt at two things. One, if in Mangaung the Jacob Zuma faction loses, then it's already underway and it's signed. If the Jacob Zuma faction wins, then it's let's keep going, we've already done it.
The other question is to move on from Russia for a second, and this is based on comments you made almost 2.5 years ago when we started the Burning Platform. You said, it's amazing how quickly the president discards people who are no longer useful to him. And you intimated that at the beginning of this discussion this morning. But if you look at a picture of the stage after his 2009 victory in Polokwane, and you look at all the people, yes, the people who were closest to him then, the leader of the ANC Youth League, Julius Malema, the leader of the SACP, Bladen Zimande, the leader of KASATU, Zwelinze Mavavi, all of these people have been cast aside. Blade is only the last and most recent one to fall. Who else should be nervous about this misplaced loyalty in the president?
it's a lovely historical, you know, we all have to look at it. One day we'll go back and say, wow, that name, stab you in the back while he laughs with you. There isn't a single one, as you say, rightly. All those people, Julius Malema and Zwelinze Mavavi, famously said that they were prepared to kill for Jacob Zuma. Well, they're out in the political wilderness. Vavi's leading a whole new trade union federation. If there's anyone who has been by Zuma's side since 2005, it's certainly Bladen Zimande. Zwelinze Mavavi tweeted, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that some of us, meaning himself, don't sleep at night because we constantly thinking, how did we push and work for this man to become president? So I think some people have already left. If you think back to 2007, remember all those heads of spy agencies, Moshek, Gibson and Janger, Piwe Nyanda is gone. If you think about some of the key players, Lindiwe Sisulu was a key player in the Jacob Zuma entourage, and she's also running now against his preferred candidate. Among those who are around President Jacob Zuma now, if you think about this cabinet reshuffle on Tuesday, think about Bongani Bongo, who's the new James Bond, who's the new Minister of Intelligence, State Security. Well, you know, what political cover does he have? He came from Mpumalanga. He was in D.D. Mabuza's office and suddenly elevated to a ministerial position. He can be discarded any minute. David Mahlova himself said something curious the other day. He said, all I have to do now is get rid of the stuff that's in my head because I know so much. Well, Jacob Zuma could dump him any minute and he might find himself with a head that's very achy-breaky because suddenly he's got nothing else to think about. So those who are around Jacob Zuma now, as they say in politics, no permanent friends, only interests. And Jacob Zuma has no friends. He will dump and he will continue to dump people who think that they're his best friends today. It's no guarantee. And the list is long of those who have gone before them.
All right. So you mentioned that Cyril Ramaphosa may be on the line. Who else needs to look carefully out for their own jobs in the immediate future?
Well, certainly, if you start in the ANC, my view is that the ANC now is leaderless, that Jacob Zuma is running a state from the union buildings, Masamba Ndlovu, where he where he's running rogue. So at the ANC, inside the ANC, Gwadimantashe, it's only a matter of weeks, but however he tries, my view is that Jacob Zuma will see the door soon. This weekend, for our listeners who may be invested in these things, we may also see some serious action, Gareth. The SACP is meeting this weekend. Its Central Committee or Politburo is going to have a big meeting about Jacob Zuma and reflect on what has happened with the cabinet reshuffle. Mm-hmm. But it might be worth thinking about who else is in the SACP leadership and what is their next step, given the events of the past week. We know that the chair of the SACP, Senzeni Zokwana, is in cabinet. There are people like Tulas Nesi, you remember him, he defended Jacob Zuma on the Nkandla matter and then turned around and found his voice. There are people like Ben Martins. There's Buti Manamela, who is with the Young Communist League, but also sits on the Politburo. All those people couldn't find their conscience in the recently when on August 8th, when the motion of no confidence was put forward against Jacob Zuma. What are they going to do now? Will the SACP finally say, we've invested so much in this man, it's time to walk away? Because if they find their voice and say that, then we could have a bit of excitement in our politics again, because they might say, not enough, we're going to withdraw from Jacob Zuma's cabinet. So we need to watch Tulas Nesi, Jeremy Cronin, Senzeni Zokwana, Rob Davis, Godfrey Oliphant, Ibrahim Patel. All these people are in the SACP leadership and they are in cabinet as appointees to all these various portfolios. So they might walk out. Cyril Ramaphosa, there's already lots that indicates that Jacob Zuma doesn't want him in. You remember that Pravin Gordhan and Trevisi Jonas were recalled from London on the 26th, I think, of March on the basis that there's an intelligence report that says that they are spies for white monopoly capital or whatever one chooses to call it. And they were fired on that basis. That report, part of it was seen and are still floating about on the internet. It was as if it was written by a grade 4 student. It's so incoherent, it's a joke. But there seems to be lots of intelligence reports floating about indicating that, oops, Cyril Ramaphosa is James Bond. So you guys might laugh and say, oh, where's justice? The real James Bond seems to be the deputy president, according to these intelligence rumors. So Cyril Ramaphosa is in the cross eyes, and we may have all sorts of things happening around him. I don't think before the conference, but I need to caution that Jacob Zuma is someone who does the unexpected, as we saw this week. Yeah. As we've seen over the past 5 years. And so I'm not putting a bet on Cyril Ramaphosa not being fired as well, maybe next week, maybe the week after.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Now that has,
in some ways, a repetition of a repetition of history. I mean, he was fired, Jacob Zuma was fired by Thabo Mbeki when he was deputy president. And then, of course, we know what happened after that. And then if Cyril were fired by Jacob Zuma as deputy president, and then came back for the elections and ended up having a Jacob Zuma-type victory, that would be quite a story. It would be history repeating itself.
It would indeed. But one thing that you would see here is that with Jacob Zuma being who he is, allow for a victory by someone that he's just fired, a victory by someone that he knows for sure would go for him. I think what we are flirting with, Gareth, and I don't mean to scare people, is the fact that we have a president who may use state resources, who is using some state resources, in fact, to go after his political opponents.
Justice,
and whether we can believe.
I'm concerned even more. I saw a video this morning on ENCA of the president in Limpopo addressing some crowd, and he was surrounded by military personnel. These were people decked out in full, not even riot gear, because that's a police thing, full military outfits with their faces covered and with automatic weapons, in fatigues, effectively, in camouflage fatigues. And they were following him around. I mean, these are some dangerous signs of a, you know, a tyrannical autocrat who's surrounding himself now with military machinery in order to protect his person. This is crazy.
That is crazy. By my last count, when I saw Jacob Zuma's entourage, there are about 20 cars. There are at least 25 bodyguards. And what you're telling me now is something I haven't seen before. But if you think about it, Jacob Zuma has been operating outside of his political home, the ANC, for a while now. And so the paranoia is huge. He keeps on saying, oh, I was poisoned. And then he turns around, as he did a few weeks ago, and tells Parliament that, no one poisoned me. So there is a paranoia that's going on that is quite scary. But I think that paranoia feeds into abuse of state entities like the intelligence services. And what we are seeing with the use of these intelligence reports, these bogus intelligence reports, is a manifestation of that. So I think we are in uncharted waters. I think we are in dangerous waters. I think Jacob Zuma has become quite dangerous to stability. I think what he triggered on Tuesday may have some far-reaching effects on South Africa. And really, right now, it's whether the ANC can impose its moral leadership on Jacob Zuma and stop him from shifting things to an unsustainable level, which leads to pushback against him. But certainly we are dealing with someone who is deeply, deeply paranoid or deeply, deeply afraid that his tenure is coming to an end and that he might go to jail and therefore might use state apparatus to try and stay out of jail.
Justice, what happened with the SABC board?
Well, the SABC board was an interesting one. President Jacob Zuma sat around trying to not appoint that SABC board. I think we can glean from what he was doing. He wanted executives at the SABC who would be appointed by him rather than by a new board. When he came under pressure, remember there was a court challenge by activists from all across the country, the SAVA, SABC coalition and others, he realized that this is one he can win because the constitution explicitly says the parliament's portfolio committee on communications chooses and gives you a list, you rubber stamp it. You don't get to change it around. So he realized that he can't do anything about that. So he had a list of 12 people. He had Kanyisile Kweyama, for example, who was the chair who turned things around at the SABC in the interim board. He didn't choose her as the chair. He chose someone who happens to be the chair of one of his wife's foundations. He chose as the deputy someone who happens to be very close to Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma and was one of her key advisors when she was at the AU. So you can still see that he's fighting back. He's trying to get his own people or people he perceives to be close to him, because I don't think, in fact, that Phoebe Potgieter Gorilla is that close to him. But he's trying to get people that he thinks he can manipulate to be in charge. And so we got the SABC board that we wanted. A good SABC board has been appointed, despite his opposition, but he's tried to put the two people that he thinks politically may be close to him in charge there. So it will be interesting to see how that pans out, given that he didn't get what he thought he would get.
I saw an interesting interview between Minister of Finance Malusi Gigaba and Richard Quest yesterday on CNN. And he was convinced that it's actually a good thing that the president's under such scrutiny and that all these corruption charges are being brought. And he said it's good because it shows the institutions are healthy and they work. And then I saw Brian Dams in Parliament yesterday saying some pretty devastating things. I mean, tell us again what he said as accurately as you can.
The key thing about the testimony by Brian Dams, for our listeners, he was the CEO of Eskom up to 2014, I believe. Now, he tells a funny little story that for me is very interesting. I've spoken about some of these bits before. And it was that Brian Dames was called by a young man called Sia, not our Sia in the studio, but Sia Bonga Mashangu, who was an advisor to the Minister of Public Enterprises. That Minister of Public Enterprises was Malusi Gigaba, Talam. Now, the story sounds very familiar. Brian Dames is the head, the CEO of Eskom. He gets called to a meeting in Midrand, not in Saxenwold, in Midrand, but by the same people who live in Saxenwold. And he's told, we've decided that we can work with you. They don't tell him who's decided, who is we. They say, we've decided we can work with you. And we've got three things on the agenda, and they talk in general terms about those things, and they say, yeah, we think we should work together, we can work together. He says he didn't know what was going on, and he ups and leaves. But listen to that name, Siyabonga Mkhwanazi. That is the same name that appears when the acting head of the SAA was asked to visit by this young man a house in Saxenwold, and lo and behold, when he arrives at that house, they sit around, and that gentleman who was acting SAA head at the time is then told, we've decided we can work with you. Here's 500,000 rand as a gift for you to go enjoy yourself. He gets close and says, what is this? Why are you giving me money that I haven't worked for, and so forth and so forth? For me, Minister Malusi Gigaba still has to explain to us why so many of his advisors were always taking leaders of state-owned enterprises to the Gupta family homes to be introduced, to be told that we can work together, and so forth and so forth. This is not the only advisor. That he had another advisor when he was at Home Affairs who also seemed intertwined with the Gupta family. So Malusi Gigaba may say all these things about institutions and so forth and so forth. The bottom line is that South Africans don't trust him. South Africans don't believe that this is the man who should be holding the keys to the safe of this country. His fingerprints are all over state capture. His fingerprints are all over the Gupta family shenanigans. And that piece of evidence yesterday by Brian Dames in Parliament points us once again to why Malusi Gigaba has a mountain to climb whether it's next week when he delivers the medium-term budget policy statement, whether it's over the next 6 months as he goes to the budget in February, there will be questions about him throughout, because there is so much evidence that implicates him in the state capture story. So when he tells Richard Quest that, oh no, it's all good, it's all fine because the institutions are standing up and so forth, well, he's been part of the undermining of those institutions. Mm-hmm. Those state-owned enterprises are now, many of them are rated junk because of the Gupta family influence on them, the Gupta family's attempt to use them to loot. The evidence that's coming out about the looting at Eskom and so forth, all this points to essentially some complicity by the ministries that were run by Malusi Gigaba. So it will be interesting to see what more comes out. But those names, Siyabonga Mahlangu and other Gigaba advisors are already implicated. All this stuff, by the way, happened while Malusi Gigaba was public enterprises minister and then home affairs minister. And no matter how much he can protest, he needs to explain what happened exactly there.
Justice, that means our finance minister's compromised, but we sort of knew that from the beginning. I mean, when he got the job, we kind of got an inkling that that was the case. Let's just turn our attention to a much smaller, more petty crime in terms of the money stolen. It's still thieving and nepotism and corruption. But if we look at Lynn Brown and her partner, it's almost sad, right?
It's so sad. I mean, you know, I've told this story before. I don't know if I've told it to you guys, but one of the things that happened to me as a young person, I was asked to come and meet this Nigerian entrepreneur in London, and I arrived at his hotel, and it was a Friday, it was a Saturday morning. This entrepreneur had just flown from South Africa the night before, and he arrives in London. He's holding a copy of the Mail and Guardian. This is way back, Sia, you were very young, but this is way back in 2003. He says to me, he starts shouting at me as soon as he walks into the room and says, "What's wrong with you?" I'm thinking, whoa, what's going on here? He's holding the Mail and Guardian, and on the front page of the Mail and Guardian is when the story broke that Jacob Zuma had taken a bribe, allegedly taken a bribe. The bribe was $50,000, which at the time was 500,000 rand. The man was so angry. He says, "Justice, what's wrong with you people? This is the deputy president of South Africa, and he takes a 50,000 rand bribe." So I'm like him. I'm saying, "Yeah, it's outrageous. How can he take a 50,000 rand?" He says, "Yes, even my third mistress, my fourth mistress wouldn't take a 50,000 rand. She would throw it back in my face and say, make it $500,000. dollars instead of $50,000. And the point he was making was, how small-minded, how village can we be that a whole deputy president can be bought for $50,000? He was appalled. Now, this is so sad. You know, I think a lot about people like Lynn Brown, who was an activist, stood up against apartheid and all that and all that. She's throwing it all away. Listen to what the Sunday Times said this past weekend. It said, "Public Enterprises Minister Lynn Brown's longtime lover and a close associate scored oil tenders from Saddam Eskom, the SOE that she oversees. He said that Eastmart Solutions, owned by Brown's partner, Ingrid Tufvesson and Michelle McMaster, the mother of Brown's former PA, Kim Davis." Now, you remember Kim Davis. She's the one who suddenly said she fell sick and ended up at the Oberoi Hotel. What was she doing at the Oberoi Hotel? Well, Museveni, the Guptas, the Djidizani, other ministers were in the hotel at the same time. What was she doing suddenly in Dubai in that week? And the other director of this company is David, Kim David's sister, Sarissa Denise David. They compromised themselves for tenders worth 1.2 million rand. This Lynn Brown is a minister. Her partner and her PA's mother and her PA's sister have a company which gets 1.2 million from Eskom, and they deny it and all that. But it's all there. 1.2 million rand. Lynn Brown has spent her entire life in the ANC before that fighting against apartheid. And this is for 1.2 million rand? I mean, she could go and sit on the board of some private company and make that in a skip and a hop. Why do you do these things? And for me, there's nothing more debilitating in our politics than to see how people who were once amazing and great compromise themselves for this, for these puny, paltry monies. And you know, even if it's big monies, it's, you are so much bigger than this. Why do you need to do it? Why do you need to take money? You don't need to at all. But this is the ethical and moral world that we are in now. And sadly, that's what we are settled with. But it's a very sad story, the story of Lynn Brown.
Shame.
If there's anyone who should just step down, it's Lynn Brown. It's amazing that Jacob Zuma can have a cabinet reshuffle on Tuesday, and Lynn Brown is still in it. Faith Mutambi is still in it. Mthuli Zwane is still in it. Death Van Rooyen is still in it. All these people, mm-hmm. all these people, without a single exception, are people who we can now, I can say it now on our platform, that these people work for the Guptas, and they won't even raise their finger against it, because it's so true, it's so in the public domain, that it, you don't need to worry that you'll be sued. They won't, because they are guilty as charged.
Justice, let's not forget that last Friday was a pretty important day, and the president is accused number one. I mean, this must be putting him under inordinate pressure. We know he's behaving very strangely at the moment. What are the repercussions of what the decision was that was made on Friday last week?
They are huge. President Jacob Zuma has fought against those 783 counts of bribe-taking. Remember that he's facing 18 charges of fraud and corruption and racketeering. He took money. Everyone will be interested to know he took money 783 times from Shabir Sheikh. Shabir Sheikh was convicted and went to jail, and in fact is still serving his jail time, although he's outside and has been outside for 8 years or so now. So the briber has been convicted, the bribee is still fighting. The South African political news cycle is so fast that here we are, just 6 days later, we've forgotten about what happened last Friday, that the Supreme Court of Appeal said Jacob Zuma has a case to answer and he must answer it. So for me, when Malusi Gigaba tells CNN, tells Richard Quest that no, the institutions are working, they're strong and so forth, this is where we've got to see them working. Once again, where is Sean? Because Sean, 6 years ago, 6 days ago, was given a clear indication by the courts that he has to give what Jacob Zuma has been begging for. Jacob Zuma has been begging for his day in court, and he should be given it, and he should just, he should be given it, and he should just go and stand trial and either get exonerated or go to jail. So it's a big case. It's a big issue. President Jacob Zuma is no longer now someone who is just, how shall I say, fighting charges. Those charges are back and current. He is a suspect in a criminal matter. And therefore, the ANC has a decision to make if it's still functioning. You'll remember that in 2008, the Peter Maritzburg High Court ruled that Jacob Zuma, the charges should be dropped against him. Mm-hmm. The ANC and Gwede Mantashe in particular rushed back to Joburg and said Thabo Mbeki shouldn't appeal that decision. He appealed it, and they fired him for that. Well, Jacob Zuma is now in exactly the same position. He's now a criminal suspect. The court have said, charge this man. The Supreme Court of Appeals has said, charge this man. Will the ANC act? It won't. I don't believe it will act at all against him. And so, essentially, politically, we are led by a criminal suspect who is not being, how shall I say, who's not being scrutinized by his party. And South Africans will need to watch whether the institutions that Gigaba speaks about, so the NPA, whether it will act and act with honor and go for the president.
What are the chances?
My bet is that, yes, sorry.
What are the chances?
We've spoken about Sean Abrahams before. Sean Abrahams is totally compromised. He's sitting there right now. If you read someone like Pierre Defosse, who has clearly looked at the law and says, it's very clear there is no reason to dilly-dally, just go for it and do it. But the chances are very slim. Jacob Zuma is going to fight through his lawyers, and Sean Abrahams is going to sit there. And the days, as he once told us, of disrespecting the NPA will continue because he has brought disrespect to the NPA himself.
All right, Justice, thank you very much for this morning. As always, it's been very good to talk to you, for you to give us some clarity on all of these very messy issues. But let's hope there's some clarity on the political front for the ANC soon, because they've had a really, really horrible year. The ANC support base must be very, very compromised at the moment too.
I often wonder how the ANC's members feel right now as their party goes through these massive big troubles, as their party leaders are implicated in so many scandals. And perhaps they need to assert themselves at this upcoming conference and say, not in our name, this is enough. We want the ANC of Nelson Mandela and Oliver Tambo and Albert Luthuli. Whether they can do that will be the measure of them as leaders in their own right. If they can't pull their organization back from the people who are destroying it, then they will find themselves punished over the next few years. In 2019, my view is that we are looking at the Macron moment, if not the Julius and Musi Maimane moment, because the ANC is eating itself up more than ever before now.
All right. Thank you, Justice. Justice Malala, The Burning Platform, and brought to you by Nando's, because without brave people like Nando's bringing you the news that you really need to hear, you would be caught up in the news cycle of all those media organizations that are so mediocre that even the term medium doesn't do them any justice. And you know I put justice in there for a good reason too.
For dramatic effect.
Of course.
Very good, Gareth.
All right, when we come back, we'll check in on some news with Mubs. We've got an interesting guest popping in a little later on. It's going to be a busy morning. It's Thursday on cliffcentral.com.
Every time And every time you walk out the list, I love you. Baby, we don't stand a chance. It's sad, but it's true. I'm way too good at goodbyes.
Too good at goodbyes. What a thing to say, huh? Huh? Isn't that terrible?
Too it's, good at goodbyes.
Such a politically correct way to say, I'm over you.
Yeah, that's what they should be saying.
It's not me, it's you. I'm too good at goodbyes.
Well, we were just talking about this whole thing with the president and just how desperate these stakes are. I mean, there are people in the ANC who will literally kill for a position in the next administration because that's all they've got. And yep. December's going to be crazy. Mabali says, sure, December's going to be wild. But it's also going to be very, very scary for some people because they've got everything on the line.
Mm.
And don't ever underestimate what desperate people will do. I mean, on the winning and the losing side.
Despacito.
Da 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 despacito. All right, hey. Let's get into some news.
All right, so it is wildly expected that businessman J.B. Magwaza will be the one to replace Dudu Mieni as the chairperson of the SAA board.
Yep.
Magwaza has been described as a veteran corporate executive, and okay. he has served on numerous boards since the 1990s. Now, it's not only Dudu Mieni who apparently is suffering the wrath of being kicked out of a position. They're calling it a major board shakeup that is going to be on the cards for the national carrier SAA. Later on this afternoon, it is anticipated it will start at around 1 o'clock. A post-cabinet meeting is going to be held where a major board shakeup is going to be revealed. According to sources, a total of 6 SAA board members are going to be getting the chop and will be replaced by big names in business and industry, among whom are all well-known deal makers.
Sure.
So that's what's happening at SAA. Justice mentioned earlier that there are also rumors being spread that the president is intending on getting rid of the deputy president, Cyril Ramaphosa, right?
Yeah, you were nodding your head. You knew about this.
I knew about this because this was revealed in an exclusive interview with ENCA by veteran unionist James Motlatsi. Made no secret of the fact that he is a close confidant and personal friend of Ramaphosa. And he says that he has reliably learned that the deputy president's days in office are numbered. Now, I see a couple of people who like to talk a lot on Twitter, but these aren't necessarily political analysts or journalists. They're just people who like to talk. Are starting to put or are attempting to try and connect the dots. They're saying, hang on, so if Dudu Mieni is out at SAA, and then if the rumors are true that Cyril Ramaphosa is going to be kicked out as well, does this mean that 1 + 1 = 700 and
oh, wow.
860,070?
You mean Dudu Mieni might be deputy president? That would be so ballsy. He's like yeah. middle finger to all of you. Oh. I'm going to take her out of SA and make her deputy president.
It would explain Jesus. Why she had accompanied him to Nigeria. Exactly. They would have had a nice conversation there to say, listen.
Yeah.
So this is how I'm moving the next chess pieces, right? I am going to get rid of Cyril. Now you are going to have to leave SAA, but...
I've got a prize for you, baby.
That would be insane.
Well, nothing's beyond this, Prez.
Nothing is beyond our president, Gareth. And then in the meantime, you know, it's a case of trying to fix the situation as far as the ANC is concerned. Zweli Mkhize apparently calling for an urgent meeting between the ANC and the SACP since it was announced that Bladen Zimande is no longer Minister of Higher Education. It would seem that Zweli Mkhize is trying to put out fires, trying to allay, or rather, you know, trying to take care of the situation where the SACP are no doubt upset at this latest move.
They've been sidelined completely.
By the ANC president. So he's going to try and fix things there. So it's going to be a busy day for a lot of people in politics this morning. A very busy day. And then we'll wait to see if any of these rumors of the deputy president, Cyril Ramaphosa, being the next to get the chop, turn out to be true.
This is something else, huh? What a soap opera we're living in right now.
Completely.
Jesus.
You can say that again.
or yaro wewe, or duno wewe, or do wewe, or do yuga. That's all I can say. Okay. I don't know what to make of this.
I also don't know what to make of this. All right. So you mentioned earlier that 33 million of us have now had our private records hacked and leaked onto the internet.
What does this mean? What is this? Where is it coming from?
Essentially, see, 33 million South Africans have had their ID numbers put on the internet. Some people, it's a case of your email address, your credit record, your home address even.
Yes.
So
who's it going to?
It's on the internet.
In other words, any criminal somewhere could tap into
that. Can access it.
They can find out who you owe money to.
And use it for nefarious reasons.
Can you search a person by name?
Well, I don't know if you can search a person by name, but if you are, I mean, if you are in the,
I need to Google myself.
If you are in the hacking world and private information of that nature is made available on the internet, it's very easy for these guys to access that kind of information. It's a lot easier for them to do it than for us because, you know, they know how to hack. But now, 2.2 million compromised email addresses have been loaded onto the website that allows internet users to confirm whether your personal data has been leaked. Australian-based security developer Troy Hunt was the one who uncovered the breach on Tuesday. About 27 gigabytes of data containing names, ID numbers, income, employment history, and even home addresses of 33 million of us have been uploaded onto the internet. Only comprised email addresses have been uploaded to this guy's website. It's haveibeenpwned.com. So you can log on to haveibeenpwned.com and pwned spelled P-W-N-E-D.
Okay, let me see this.
And then apparently...
Have I been pwned?
Pwned, but well, don't spell it with the A.
Let me try and look this up. Okay. So what is it? Have I...
Have I been pwned, P-W-N-E-D.com. And then apparently if you type in your email address, the website says that it will let you know whether or not... you have been pawned to any...
Oh, my gosh. I'm so scared to click on search.
Let's see.
Good news. No pawnage found.
Pawnage.
That's what they say.
I'm pawned on 5 breached sites and found no paste subject to...
Have I been pawned.com?
Oh, my God.
You've had no pawnage.
Now I'm using, though, like all of my email addresses and. Okay, still nothing.
Guys, by doing the search, you're going to get pawned.
Oh!
It's a trap.
I don't know, hey? Like, it's too late in any case. Like, 33 million South Africans have their information out on the internet.
Wait,
I mean,
hold up.
How many of us in this room? Like,
And what's the overall total population of South Africa? Isn't it like 55 or 60 million?
Yeah, I'd call it 55 million, and I'd say probably 20 million of us don't have email addresses. So that means all of us who have an email address probably been...
Well, it just means that our information is out there, and the people know how to get that kind of information, who want to use it for evil, will do that.
That's Look, I've means. Just gotten... slightly okay with the fact that like the Googles, the Facebooks of the world can get information on me that I was not initially comfortable with them having.
Well, this is even worse because these are people
who have bad intentions.
Right. Oh.
This is not cool.
Okay, well, thanks, Mubs. You've made my day.
Okay.
Now I have paranoia.
You're welcome.
I don't want to sign up for anything anymore. Not even a simple like
All right, what else?
I need to live off the grid.
When you die, do you know that you are dead?
What do you mean?
Excuse me?
Do you know that you are dead when you die? Do you think that when you die, you will know that, oh, I have just died?
Probably not.
This sounds like a question you ask after you have had a little smoke of some bird.
Scientists discover the mind still works after the body shows no sign of life and reveal people have heard their own death announced by medics.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That has got to suck.
So some report having seen the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, that whole thing, while others claim to have floated above their body watching as medics save their lives.
Yeah.
But the reality of near-death experiences has always been debated. And now scientists have discovered that a person's consciousness continues to work after the body has stopped showing signs of life, meaning they have awareness of their own death. And there is evidence to suggest someone who has died may have even heard their own death being announced by medics.
That would freak me out. I suppose by then, what are you going to do, right?
This is according to a team of New York University Langen School of Medicine who investigated this question. They conducted twin studies in Europe and the United States of people who have suffered cardiac arrest and then come back to life. So technically, these people died, mm-hmm. and then the doctors brought them back, because that's what happens when you get resuscitated, right, is they bring you back. So the author of the study is Dr. Sam Pania, who says that they have interviewed some of these people who suffered cardiac arrest and have come back to life, mm-hmm. and they describe watching doctors and nurses working, and they've also described having awareness of full conversations of visual things that were going on that would otherwise not be known to them. These recollections were then verified by medical and nursing staff who reported their patients, who were technically dead, could remember details of what they were saying after the patient was pronounced dead.
Sure.
Now, medically speaking...
That would freak me out. I don't know that I'd be happy to hear someone announce... Nurse, I'm afraid we've lost this one.
And you can't and do like, anything.
No, I'm still here. Don't stop. Hey! Come right. on!
No, I don't think I like the sound of this either. So, medically speaking, doctors define death based on when the heart no longer beats, which then immediately cuts off blood supply to the brain.
I thought it was when your brain is dead.
Well, according to these scientists who conducted the study, medically speaking, time of death all has to do with when the heart no longer beats.
Yeah.
Technically, that's how you get the time of death. It's all based on the moment when the heart stops. This is according to this Dr. Sam Pania.
Yeah.
Once that happens, blood no longer circulates to the brain, which means that brain function halts almost instantaneously. You lose all your brainstem reflexes, your gag reflex, your pupil reflex, all that stuff is gone. The brain's cerebral cortex, which is responsible for thinking and processing information, also instantly flatlines.
Right.
This means that within 2 to 20 seconds of your heart stopping,
right.
no brain waves will be detected on an electric monitor.
I don't like this.
This Mm-mm. sparks a chain reaction of cellular processes that will result in the death of the brain cells. However, this, the death of the brain cells, can take hours after the heart has stopped. And that is why they say that your consciousness... is probably still alive once your body is dead, and that is how they explain that for some people. They
Mavali, I'm not happy about this.
They've heard their own death.
No. Not like this at all.
Look, it's kind of in the same field, but if you really want to be creeped out about all this kind of stuff, you must see the movie Awake.
What's it about?
Jessica Alba's in it.
Okay, yeah. What happens?
That sort of moochy guy for Twilight's in it too. Basically, there's this, what's it called? There's actually a medical condition. It's escaped me in a second.
Wait, like during surgery and people are awake?
Anesthetical awareness.
Oh, you see.
Now, actually, we should chat to Dr. Witt about this, where you are awake and you know exactly what's going on during your operation.
And you can't, move. You can't do anything. You can't tell them.
Do you feel the pain?
Watch the movie, Sia. It will freak you out to no end, because if you want us to understand what helplessness is, it's this movie. It's hectic.
So essentially what these scientists are saying is that your heart stops,
yeah.
and then your brain cell death begins, but they're saying that the brain cell death is happening at a slower rate after the heart has stopped.
Do we know how long that brain cell death is?
They don't put a specific number to it.
If it's like 10 seconds, I can live with it. Excuse the pun. Well, the irony, rather. You know, if it's like 2 hours and you're busy just like sitting there and you're like, okay, well, goodbye, cruel
world. I don't like any of this. I don't like the whole thing. There's no part of this that I'm happy about. None. No. I always thought, you'd have the tunnel and you'd walk up and you'd like take Jesus' hand and you'd walk into the light.
What's going to happen.
No, no, just let me, I don't want to be watching. I just don't want to die.
Yeah.
I want to live forever. See, can I not arrange so? Who knows how to make that happen? Make me live forever. I'll give you whatever you want.
See, I've never really pictured like the seeing the light and walking into the light thing. No. I want to bang.
You want to bang?
Spotlight on me. Great, grand, huge number, show tune number.
Yeah.
Sparkles, confetti. This is the end. You know. And that's it. It's fine. But that's why I've never liked the idea of also being in a coma and people being around you. Because they can say things and, you know, some people say they hear while they're in a coma. So what if they're busy debating, okay, is it worth keeping my ballet on life support?
Yeah, what if they're saying horrible things? Look at how small his penis is. He's dead. All right, nurse, he's dead. You could take a look. Pull up his gun and have a look at his penis.
What I would like to know...
Who had 6 inches in the pool?
I would like to know is when doctors are trying to resuscitate you, is there a standard time that they are required to keep trying for before they eventually call it quits?
I think it's kind of like when you're looking for a golf ball. You get 5 minutes by the rules of the RNA. I think it's very similar.
I think a doctor should let us know what that time is. Where the law says you have to, like, this is obviously not in the case where, you know, a patient sign, like, documents that say do not resuscitate me.
Mm.
But in the event of you, say, for example, suffering a heart attack, how long are doctors meant to try and bring you back before they eventually call it quits?
Mm. Speaking of which, and we haven't heard his name in a while, Michael Schumacher.
Yeah,
he's in a similar position, folks.
Guys,
well, is he still going?
Well, look, that's just going to bleed out.
It's been 4 years.
Not him.
Years. His former manager thinks that the family should come clean with the public and all of his fans, and
the family can do whatever they want. This is the thing. We don't own anything about Michael Schumacher. If his family wants him to just blow over, as in we'll just forget about it one day, and they go, oh yeah, by the way, he's no longer with us. That's their thing.
What do they want them to come clean with? Exactly.
Just to tell the world about his state. Because now it's been four years. Michael Schumacher is now 48 years old. And actually, the family has not confirmed anything at all.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, well, maybe we don't deserve it. Like Ben says, what business is it of ours? But at the same time, why are they keeping him alive? Mm. I mean, surely it's in their interest to just take the guy out now and switch off the machines.
Well, guys, because they have millions and millions of money.
Millions and millions.
Millions and millions of money.
If this happened to us within probably 6 months, it would be like, yeah, okay, so that skiing accident didn't go well.
Yeah.
But in Michael Schumacher, you can just, I don't know, maybe they're buying different brains.
All we know is that...
Changing them in and out and stuff.
Buying different
brains.
That's
a possibility. All we know is that he was moved from Switzerland to the US. He's now in the US. That his health condition is improving.
Really?
Just
weird. Wow.
I think that's debatable. And that he has relapsed into coma. If you have the money, I guess.
Don't keep the guy alive. He can't have any quality of life. He's probably not conscious. People who are dying who see their body, hear the doctors announce them as dead are probably having a better time than he is. He's been how long since this accident?
4 years.
No, it's enough. It's enough.
You know, I can't imagine what it's like to also be a family member. You're trying to hold on to hope, but dude, after 4 years, you want to get to move on with your life.
Do you do this thing where you put bottles of cold water in the fridge? Well, you put bottles of water in the fridge and they get really cold and then...
Please don't tell me there's something wrong with
it. No, I like that.
Okay.
I have no research that proves there's anything wrong with it. I just need... all right, this has got to do with... This is not a news story.
Okay.
Okay, but...
Do you ever put bottles of tap water in the fridge?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. A lot of people... I like to do this, but a lot of them... Like almost the whole door of the fridge is full of water bottles, and they're cold. And then when I need water, I can get cold water. I don't like the water that's warm.
Yeah, I People have very interesting behaviors about their water.
Uh-huh.
You get the non-tap water drinkers.
Yes, the ones who only drink the bottled water.
The ones who only
step off your high horse.
Buy their water.
Yes.
Then you also get people who don't drink fridge water. They don't like their water that cold.
They want the room temperature water.
Yes.
Yes.
I have an aunt who drinks her water that way.
Right. They're suspicious of the fridge water.
Why?
They don't like it that cold, essentially.
And then there are those people who say to you, well, if you've left a plastic bottle of water in the car, the last thing you want to do is drink that water.
Yes.
They say that the plastic will leach all kinds of dangerous shit into the water. Now, I've heard from a number of people who are smart that that's nonsense. So who knows? All right, here's a little thing to clear up anybody who is concerned about that data leak. This is from Mike.
Okay.
Guys, you got it all wrong about the data leak. I've seen the file. I can confirm the following. One, the data that is on the file is the normal deeds office data, likes of which are freely available to anyone who visits the deeds office anyway. Number two, you would have to have been a hacker to get access to the file, a database specialist to access the data. So it's not just anybody who can look this up. Number three, no credit history was included. Only one column that shows a kind of, more or less, which income group you belong to. You know, what LSM group. Number four, estate agents in South Africa work with this data on a daily basis to obtain the information on homeowners in order to approach them for a possible sale. So, all this media hype is completely misplaced.
So then why was it leaked if it's not a big deal?
Like, I don't know.
What is the purpose of leaking information that's already readily available?
Right. Gareth, you sound like I feel right now. Claustrophobia setting in, trapped in your own body. Graham, that's scary as hell. Ben, have you seen a noticeable change in blog activity or traffic since introducing video? David.
David, good question. I haven't actually looked at that kind of stuff in about a month. No, I realize when I write negative things, people love stuff. It's the way of the world.
Really?
Although it's not really negative stuff. Like, I just wrote about the Springboks a lot more.
Yeah, but you wrote about how shit they were.
Kind of. But that was, I think, reflecting sentiment.
No.
I wrote a thing about national anthems yesterday. That got good traction. Mostly because I said they're stupid.
Huh.
But, Joel, I mean, like, videos. I'm just trying to push the YouTube channel. So I've got, like, 240 people who have subscribed. Not a lot.
Well, all national anthems are kind of stupid, except the Whitney Houston rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. Thank you.
Look, I mean, I was thinking about it yesterday. National anthems are stupid. I mean, who can actually create a song of any worth about a country? It's like, you imagine if we had a studio song. We wrote a song about this show. It would sound stupid. Imagine having like a family song. How dumb that would be.
Oh, it would be cheesy.
And why?
The anthems are fundamentally destined to be stupid.
And why is all this importance placed on national anthems? Because, like, it's just another song.
It's
another
song
with lyrics sung to a tune in the same way that Cardi B's Bodak Yellow is a song.
Yeah, but like exactly. But
spot on.
National anthems are no better than children's songs. They've got the same sort of rhythm, melody, and structure of wording. Basic, stupid, and require way too much Jesus just to try to pull it through.
All right, let's try a few. This is the Russian one, right?
I'm actually doing a feature on this today on my podcast about how stupid these songs are.
So, I mean, if this was a kid's song, it would say, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's dumb, I agree. The German one?
Ooh.
Yeah, let's go.
This gives me Catholic Church vibes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hymn.
If people just mindlessly regurgitate each week, for what?
All right, the French one. And let's also remember, a lot of these anthems have only been around for a couple of years. They weren't there for ages and ages and ages. None of them predate like 300 years ago.
That's a long time, Gareth, because a lot has happened in 30 years.
Italy? It's not their anthem. But that is funny.
I wouldn't put it past them.
Imagine if this was their anthem. Imagine. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. That should be their anthem,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, the English one is God Save the Queen.
Which is a song about an old woman who thinks she's a god. I mean, let's be very frank about this. The entire song is save that old trout who's basically been sitting there.
Yeah, she can manage perfectly well on her own, but save the old trout. That's the deal. All right. How about this one? Probably the most famous of all. Only because it's the most important country in the media. The United States.
But again, it's a song
about how the bombs burst over Boston and New York and Washington. And the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave truth to the flag. The flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave? So it's really about something that happened ages ago. Here's, of course, the Zulu anthem.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. The Zulus get
their own one. Bye, Tim. Sure. Yeah, right? Of course.
Yes.
All right, so that's the one. Here's the Mexican anthem, for those who don't know. La, 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 la. All right. Here's the Afrikaans anthem.
Oh.
Here's the rest of our anthem.
Have you gone through the words of Inkosi Sikelela?
Yeah.
And what a stupid anthem
God
it is.
God bless Africa. I mean, yeah. It's
basically,
also,
it's the most useless.
It's like God Save the Queen. It's
these are the words. Lord bless Africa. May her glory be lifted high. Hear our prayers. It's basically just love me, Jesus, for about the first half.
Right.
It's a hymn. It's a hymn.
And then the Afrikaans section is just basic geography. Out of the blue of our heavens, out of the depths of our sea, our everlasting mountains.
Stupid. Yeah.
Thanks,
so it's geography.
Thanks, Veldvoorkes.
So Jesus geography.
It's Jesus geography, and then at the end,
why would you attach importance to this?
It's
why would you make this an important part of who you are? It's ridiculous. It's actually just so childish. Mm. All right, here's Australia's national anthem. Uh-huh. Are you ready? It's Waltzing Matilda. Everybody knows that, right?
Yeah.
And shame, this was this was the Australian anthem before sort of the 1800s.
Yeah, well.
Yes, and of course
shame.
Then, yeah, shame is about right.
Shame.
Everybody knows this is the Chinese anthem. Oh, yeah. That's the whole thing.
They're nothing if not efficient.
Right. They don't waste time. And then, of course, we've got the Saudi Arabian anthem. Right. Okay, very good. Then, just in case you were still wondering, this is the alternate French anthem, the one that most people like.
Yes, I prefer this one. Don't hear it in a lot of football matches, right. But I prefer it.
This is the Austrian one. Everybody knows, I'm sure everybody knows, I mean everybody knows the gay anthem, right?
Hey.
This is your anthem, Sia, you better learn it.
I always thought this was the Belgian anthem.
No, it's definitely the gay anthem. Everybody knows the smug married anthem.
Oh. Oh, yes.
Smug married.
Yeah. Everybody knows the porn star anthem, right? Right. And so on and so on and so on.
You know what, Ben? You make a very good point.
Sometimes. Don't give him too much credit.
Well, okay. No, because I've been watching how Americans are like going blue in the face, getting uptight about... You know, you have the one camp that says you're disrespecting the anthem, and then you have the other camp that's saying we're kneeling during the anthem.
Yeah.
Like, really, if they just heard this conversation, they should feel like idiots.
I'm a free speech
guy. It's a stupid song.
I'm a free speech guy. I reckon you should be able to protest anything you want. And as long as you're not hurting anybody, you go on one knee. You could go on your dick. You could go on your you could sit on your ass. I don't care. It's just it's a song.
It's of no consequence.
It is a song. Grow up, you children. It's like those people who burn the flag. It's like, if you want to burn the flag, you burn the flag. Whatever you like.
Yeah,
idiot. Don't you know that those fumes are bad for you?
Exactly. And patriotism is so stupid. Someone actually said to me last night, if I posted this article, I read about this, basically saying how stupid this is. And it's like, well, I get the impression you're not very patriotic then.
Yes, and?
Those people, and no one's patriotic.
You make
deep
it sound
down.
Like it's a good thing.
Deep down inside, if anyone is patriotic, they would be bound to that country forever, like a slave. Now, why would you want that? If you want to move to Azerbaijan, you go ahead. I'm not going to say, oh, that's so unpatriotic. But if you think Azerbaijan offers you and your family a better life, you go there.
I suppose the thinking behind that is that you are meant to feel like you owe your country something.
Nobody's from that place. Let me just remind you that all of us came out of caves and wandered around in the savannah. There only were about 10,000 humans at one point, and we were probably somewhere near Ethiopia, Egypt, the Suez Canal, where eventually that would be. Somewhere around there, we were squeezed into this little landmass. So everybody eventually comes from somewhere like that, or even the caves here near Krugersdorp. But the fact that our ancestors, whether you're white, black, Indian, colored, San, Khoi, whatever you may be, your ancestors have moved around a lot. That's how they stayed alive. Ran out of food here, they moved there. Stop getting precious about where you're from. It's stupid.
Precious about really stupid things. So again, this person telling me I'm not patriotic. It's like, okay, great. Would you go to war for Jacob Zuma? I mean, shut your face. I saw this week there was some woman who's like a travel writer. She said, I'm only truly relaxed once I'm in a plane out of South Africa. As in, I haven't been mugged.
Yes.
So, right. So people talk about crime in this country every day. It's a thing. And like muggings happens. Cape Town especially, muggings are terrible. And they tore this woman apart, like, don't ever come here again. Stop spreading this shit.
These are the same people who go to a bribe. These are the same people who go to a bribe and complain about crime.
Yeah, but then someone says something about it, and it's like, oh, screw you, you bitch.
Yeah, nobody can say bad things about my country except me.
Or we should at least relook at what these anthems are all about. Like, if it were up to me, Toto's Africa would be our anthem.
Really? It would make a lot more sense. Exactly. The thing is, like, the bar is so low.
It's more universal.
I mean, DJ Otzi's Hey, Do You Want to Be My Girl sang at rugby things is as much of an anthem as anything else. And I hate that song so much that you're not, I will disown you if you ever sing that. Seriously, I'll disown you. If you have some of my stuff, I'll take it back. I'll push you downstairs. That
and then
the
it's over.
Most horrible thing and stupidest thing. But people do these things blindly. It's like blind faith, all these blind actions. It's just stupid. Maybe I'm a little bit too precious about things meaning something in life. See, we all have our problems. But it's just stupid. Grow up.
Grow up. Right.
Grow up, Mike.
All right, very nice. This is This has been very good. But we've got a guy called Jan Klauser coming in a moment or two. Jan Klauser is he's had hits on the Billboard charts for the last couple of years, and he's worth talking to. He's a musician. I spoke to him the other day about kind of how he puts his music together, what the creative process is. You know, I'm obsessed with that, like how people can write songs. And he's been writing songs. He's been collaborating with a number of South African artists. We thought it'd be fun for you to find out what his life's all about and what he's up to. That's Jan Klauser. That's J-A-N-N and the surname K-L-O-S-E. You would remember Klauser from the World Cup in the German team, right?
Yeah, that Polish striker.
That's right.
Miroslav.
Klauser. All right, so that's coming up in a moment. Alan Ford is here with the Unview. L. Do you want to give us a little synopsis of what's coming up on your show today?
He's Alan a person Ford. Who also has his own anthem.
Alan has an anthem. You better bloody believe it. Yeah, he's got his own song and everything.
Oh, he's coming into
studio. I am
studio.
A little bit jealous, though, that Sia has a Zulu anthem, a South African anthem, and a gay anthem.
You have none. You don't care about any of those.
I have nothing.
Hello, Elle. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey.
What's up, Al?
How's it going? Are you well?
Good, very well. How are you?
All good.
All right. How have you been? Morning. Where have you been? I saw you last week. You were running around.
Where have you been?
Yeah. What have you been up to?
I was here last week, number one.
No, you were. But where have you? What exciting places?
Well, first and foremost,
we're not shitting on you.
Did I tell you about the Tusk Awards? This was incredible.
What is this?
That's, what other test?
Sorry, I'm thinking phallic straight away with you.
No. I think, Gareth, you'd appreciate this.
Yes.
You know, I do a lot of work with rhino conservation and doing
something. Okay. So what do you mean, Ben?
Tusk Trust Conservation Awards that was held in in Cape Town for
Ben
the first time in 5 years.
It's
just Ben. And basically, it was phenomenal because it's 3 top conservation awards that are given out with huge prizes at a value from about 200,000 rand to R500,000 to these individuals for their different.
Have they all saved
causes.
Rhinos and things?
Well, one lady in Kenya saved an entire delta.
Good Lord.
From
poachers.
Petroleum companies and that type of stuff.
Oh, right. Okay.
Another person, it was a South African man that also did incredible work to actually create a nature reserve in Tanzania and get that land protected. And then a guy in South Africa who won the Rangers Award, listen to this, exposed his boss who was a part of the poaching syndicates.
Nice.
And he was a very high official.
All right.
But it was wonderful to get a live feed, a satellite feed from Kensington Palace with Prince William.
Oh, yeah?
And then these awards were given out, firstly, by...
He's so middle class, though, Al.
I know. Yeah. But it's so lovely to see...
He may as well come on and go, hello, there you are in South Africa.
You must see what he's... Yeah.
I'm royal, by the way.
It was a very beautiful dining room that he did this. She loved it. It was really nice. And then, Gareth, the 3 people that gave the awards away was Graça Machel, F.W. de Klerk, former president, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. We're all there.
Yes. I saw your Instagram pictures. That's why I was curious.
I know. Grazia.
Alan went on to Instagram, posted picture of Graça Machel with him, and spelt it Garcia Michel.
Oh.
I did not.
So I had to help him correct it when he came in last Thursday.
Lest we forget, by the way, his Instagram handle is flaming.
Yes, of course. Alan flaming Ford, Alan Ford. Yeah, of course.
And you know what happened there?
This should be your theme music.
What happened, Alan?
A friend of mine, very well, Instagram had just come out. I thought, what is this thing? I've never heard of it. Twitter, I thought were birds. And Instagram, I had no idea.
How many followers have you got there?
I thought the Instagram was a weight loss program. I don't know. So that's what I... So then he said...
Instagram was a weight loss
program. Seriously.
Followers are we talking about this?
Use an Instagram.
1,400 followers.
Okay, let's pump that up, everybody. You can go and see Flaming Alan Ford.
So correct. That's what I thought it was. I thought it was a weight loss program. I thought that's how you lose an Instagram. It's like an Insta... And so this friend of mine said to me, you know, he calls me your flaming squirrel.
Also your Yahoo email address? So
he said, let's give you a name and call you Flaming Alan Ford SA. Not thinking that Twitter, Instagram would become a very popular institution.
It was at Alan Ford.
And that's what happened. So it was it was quite weird. But so that's why, unfortunately, it would be lovely to be the Alan Ford or King Ford or Ford SA or have you driven a Ford lately or ridden a Ford lately, depending how you
want to
see it.
Have you ever used that as a pickup line?
Always.
Okay, moving on.
driven a Ford lately?
No, have you ridden a Ford?
Okay, sorry.
A Ford lately.
Okay, all right.
Benjamin's just gone, hey, Ben.
Alan and I checked out a long time ago.
I have so many things.
All right, so you were at these conservation awards. What else were you up to?
Then Christina Bianco is here.
Yes.
Impersonator. She was at Gate 69 in Cape Town. Brilliant. Brilliant performer. First class. And then just lovely exploring the Cape. The Cape is beautiful. And then I did a crazy thing with Nathan. We took Conrad Jankies, the former rugby player, Springbok, Austria driving.
Did Nathan go ostrich riding?
Yes, we took him.
Who managed to ride the ostriches?
We filmed it.
Oh my God.
Did people stay on the ostriches? Did they fall off?
Conrad Yankees did an incredible... they are freaky, eh? They are freaky, Gareth.
Ostriches.
Very weird.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan.
It's seriously
weird.
Don't
they like throw you off? They don't?
It is insane what these things do. But
they're horrible.
They're
horrible.
And how strong they are. They are very strong. You can ride an ostrich. Up to 100 kilos. Well, I couldn't get onto it because I'm 101 at the moment. It's been a bad. It's just been a bad. It's been like 104. Shut up.
All right.
26. When you're in a relationship, you get comfortable. You know, you eat a bit.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to the unview today. What do you got?
It's a great show, Gareth, lined up. Alan Committee, a top comedian, comes into the studio. He's got a new show called Laughing Matters.
Yes.
We've got him here. And then we're going to chat to Jonathan Rocksmith.
Okay.
Who opens today Evita.
Mm-hmm.
The full, it's the full Broadway company, the full Broadway production
is in
South Africa. So it's not these smaller ones that we've seen in the past.
So this is the real thing.
Okay. The real deal.
Now I'm going to see that, actually.
Are you?
Believe it or not, this is the first time I'm going to the theater.
Are you going
in like
tonight?
6 years. Yes, I am.
I'll see you too. Who are you going with?
God, I knew you would. All right. You know what? I've just had a cancellation. There's someone, a cousin has died. I've got to go to a funeral.
My partner's not here, and I don't have anyone to take with me. And do you want to come see her?
Year of Yes.
Thank you, but no.
Year of Yes. There it is. Sia, we'll see you later,
what's
Alan.
What's a VA?
Sia, we'll see you later. Let's wrap it up.
Okay.
He's rude, huh?
How rude. And do you know how he chases me out of the studio because of his sports show? How rude. And
because of my sports show, it's like 3:10. That's my time.
It's not. Okay, anyway. And then we've got Darren Meltz and Brad Nowako, who's got a new show called The Clearing happening at.
It sounds like you know a lot about that.
People. Just dreadful.
Is Nathan here today?
Yes, of course. Nathan Rowe is with us, and he's prepared some lovely.
He's your co-host. He sometimes runs the whole thing.
Are we doing the Clifmas carols this year?
No.
Why?
Why would you want to spoil a nice day like this by bringing that up?
Because
I don't want to do that.
Because Nathan is wanting to prepare songs.
Well, it depends. It depends. We want a sponsor for it. I'm not doing it when we can't pay the artists. I mean, last time we had Proverb and we had the Soweto Gospel Choir and. Yeah, it was a real. It was
Alan
a.
Ford.
It was a proper lineup, and I'm not
we
gonna.
Had Gareth Cliff.
I'm not gonna do this.
Is Tamisha still on air?
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean?
Oh,
comes on after Ben.
I'm just asking. will he be singing?
He sang so badly.
Shame.
Chased people out of the room.
It was really bad.
Okay, time to wrap the show.
I love it. Okay.
We got.
So the Unview, don't miss it today.
Thank you, Al. Thank you very much.
Time to go to our interview.
Jan Klauser, everybody. This is an interview with the musician Jan Klauser. Take a listen to this. CliffCentral.com. The Unview coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. We haven't done the Unnews yet, so let me get to that quickly, and then we are wrapping it up for this morning. A lot of exciting stuff happening today. Plenty. All right, here's what you need to know. Make sure you're sitting comfortably. You know, in this news cycle, everything's exciting. All right, Duda Mieni has finally been removed from the SAA board. Sounds like good news, but to think she is gone is nothing short of naive. President Jacob Zuma took her away for the weekend to Nigeria to discuss her next job, something that will be revealed soon. It could be anything from CEO of Eskom to coach of the Springboks, as what Duda wants, or Jacob provides. The Guptas have been a little quiet lately. This is because they've been rearranging the summer season holidays to Dubai. They're currently assessing who in the ANC have been naughty or nice and booking trips accordingly. Word is that Bladen Zimande is not on the holiday list, sadly, which wraps up a dreadful week after being shuffled out of cabinet too. And finally, Lionel Messi has reached 100 goals in European Cup competitions. He has been congratulated on all fronts. Even Cristiano Ronaldo sent him a personal message of congratulations. It was a picture of a giant shit, a subtle reminder that he will always be number two to the Portuguese superstar.
This is CliffCentral.com.